Parshas Vaera gives us another chance to think about this strange partnership between Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron, that Moshe Rabbeinu did not himself do the talking that needed to be talked, but that Aaron talked it for him. So we have over here the posuk when the makkos just begin. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemer, ani Hashem, daber el paro melech Mitzrayim, es kol asher ani dover elecha." So once more, "Vayomer Moshe lifnei Hashem, hein ani aral sfosayim, ve'ech yishma elai paro." I can't, I'm an aral sfosayim. What are you asking me to talk to him for? "Vayomer Elokim el Moshe, ra'ei nesaticho Elohim lefaro, ve'aron ochicho yihyeh nevi'echa." You're going to be the Elohim, and Aaron is going to be your Novi. Let's just look at Rashi to see what's going on over here. What does it mean, Nesaticho Elohim lefaro? Rashi says, Shofet v'roide, a judge who administers punishments. L'radoso b'makos v'yisurin. There was a punishing element in the makos also, apparently. It wasn't just that the Ribbono Shel Olam was going to force Paro to let the Yidden go. There was that, of course, but there was also a punishing element. That is Nageya. In other sugyas, we don't have to deal with that now. But very interesting is what Rashi says next. Yir nevi'echo ketargumai. He's going to be your meturgeman. He's going to be the one who expresses what you have on your mind. V'chein kolosho nevua. Odom hamachris. A person who calls out something. Umashmiya le'om divrei techachas, and he gives musa to the people. Ruhu migizras nivsfosayim. Nivsfosayim is the power of speech. That's what a novi is. A novi is a speaker. So Rashi brings various other examples for that. And the French word which he uses is prediger. Prediger is a preacher, somebody who talks, somebody who speaks. So there's a whole sermon in Rav Hutna about this idea, the difference between Nevi'im and Ksuvim, that Ksuvim were given only to be written down, Nevi'im were given to speak, the messages that were to be spoken. That's really what Nevi'im is, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. So Nevi'im is that form of message which the Ribbono Shel Olam sent to Klal Yisrael, which was meant to be spoken. Ksuvim were the ones which were just meant to be written down and not spoken. So, Aaron Ochichu Yir Nevi'echa, he will be the person who puts your ideas into words. Now, what was the inyan of this? What was this idea of Moshe Rabbeinu not being able to speak? So, there's apparently, I had never heard this in my life till the last couple of years. I've come across the following idea, but nowadays everybody seems to know about it. I hear it here, I hear it there. But the Welt seems to know. It seems to be one of those things that I think probably had the place in Sisrei Torah and later on became sort of common knowledge. I'll read to you a couple of passages from this unbelievable chapter 8 in Akiva Tassis, The Thinking Jewish Teenager's Guide to Life. It's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful book. And he talks about over here about speaking and silence. So here's a subsection over here entitled Words. Listen to what he said. Words are limited. Words, no matter how perfectly chosen and eloquent, are fragments of meaning. They are the bits and pieces which communication struggles to construct. If you are sensitive, you will know that the deepest experiences are the most difficult to express. We have a deep need to share the most beautiful and meaningful moments that we experience, and there is a particular pain in being unable to put them into words. The cure for that pain is to share with someone who has his or her own inner awareness of such things. Then words are entirely unnecessary. In fact, the most significant things to be shared in life require no words, demand silence. Words intrude at these times, cheapen the moment, and so on. And it's just a very, very, very worthwhile reading this chapter, if you can get hold of it. Let's jump to where he talks about the letters speak. The Hebrew alphabet begins Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. The first letter, Aleph, indicates deep knowledge, or Aleph, Beis Ulpana, learning, higher wisdom. Its numerical value is one, a clue to the ultimate oneness. There are many secrets hidden in the Aleph, but none to note here, but the one to note here is that it is silent. Isn't that something? The Aleph, the learning process, the understanding process, the deep knowledge is silent. The Aleph we can't express. Real knowledge has no finite sound. It is intangible, inexpressible. That's Moira in the world. And now we just jump a little bit and go to speechless. Moses could not speak well because of this problem. The conventional understanding is that he suffered from a speech defect, an imperfection. But the opposite is true. He could not speak well because of his perfection. He was living in a world of truth where things are grasped as they are, grasped by a pure mind. Moses knew the essence of things, knew things as they really are, far beyond the level of the words which attempt to describe them. Things grasped thus prophetically, essentially, could never be shrunk into words. That is why he could not speak well. Somewhere else in this essay, he discusses the idea, this masago which we have, that the baby learns kolatoru kula while he's in his mother's womb, and then when he gets born, the malach comes and strikes him, and he forgets. So he asks, like, why does he strike him on the lips? Why not on the head? If we're talking about knowledge and he wants him to forget the knowledge, so let him strike him on the head. That's where knowledge is kept. Why does he strike him on the lips? It says that the makkah which the malach gives is the power of speech. Once you have the power of speech, you forget everything. Because then, by you, that what is real, that which you can express, you say over a stickle Torah, you write a sefer, so you feel the need to express your understanding in words, and immediately you become limited. Immediately you become limited to those insights which words can express. And if your insights are much more profound than anything that a word has been developed for, so then that is lost. So if you want to forget somebody, if you want to get somebody to forget his Torah, tell him, oh, let's hear your Stickel Torah, tell it over to me. That's in a way, of course, the advantages to being able to learn from people. But when you look at the pure issue of the Chochmah that animated the Stickel Torah in the person and what's going on in his mind, that insight, those ideas which are going on in his mind would have remained much more perfect if you had not sort of bamboozled him into telling it over. By saying it, you mitzamtzem it. Very, very interesting things. See, that helps us to understand, I think, this funny, strange passage in Shemois where this first argument, this argument first takes place, that when the Rabban Shem by the snare is telling Moshe that he has to go to Mitzrayim. So Vayomer Moshe El Hashem, first Moshe Rabbeinu was stammering on, if he said, look, why should I be able to take the Yidden out of Mitzrayim? That's not the kind of person I am. So the Rabban Shem explained, I'll help you, you're not going to have any trouble. Okay, so that seems to be all right. But now Moshe comes with a new argument. Vayomer Moshe El Hashem, bi Adoni, lo ish devorim onochi, gam mesmol, gam mesesham, gam meos dabercho alavdecho, ki kvad peh vekvad lo shoyn onochi. He says, I'm not going to be able to speak. Like then he says later, "Mi anochi ke'elech al paro." That's not you can't deal with paro with a person who's like you can't put two words together. How can I do that? Vayom Hashem elav, mi som pele odam, or mi osum ileim or cheresh or pikeach or iver. Halo anochi Hashem. Va'ato lechu anochi eye em picho v'hareisicho as es asher tedaber. So the Rebbe says like this, look, I understand, you are a kvad peh and a kvad loshon, but you have to have some trust in me, I'll help you. Misom peh, who's the one who grants the ability to speak? He grants the ability to speak, I do that. no, if I want you to go to Paro, and if an inability to speak is going to get in your way, I'll help you speak. What's the problem? So really, at this point, Moshe Rabbeinu should have said, well, okay, so if that's what I'm supposed to do, I'll do that. The Rabban Shem had promised that he would help. Now Moshe Rabbeinu says, Vayoma, Bi Adoni, Shlach no bi Yad Tishlach, please send anybody but me. Tishlach is, you know, the various Pshotim of Yerashi, Ramban, but basically that's what he's saying. He's saying, don't send me, send somebody else. Vayicha af Hashem be Moshe. Then Rabban Shem got angry. Vayoma, and he said, Haloi Aaron uchichu halevi yodati kidabe yedabe hu, v'gam hine hu yotzei likrosecho v'ruachom v'somach b'libem. Fine, I'll send Aaron for you. V'dibatu elo v'samtes advorim b'fiv. Put the words into his mouth. V'anochi eyi empicho v'impiu, empicho that you can tell it to Aaron, empiu that he can tell it to Paro, v'aresi esrem es asher ta'ason. Why was the Ribbono Shel Olam yicha af over here? Why was he angry at Moshe? And the pasuk is strange because it doesn't really, so what? And then he goes on saying, look, okay, you have a good point, I'll send Aaron for you. So how did that anger express itself? And why was he angry? Why was he angry? The emphasis is, Rashi raises that issue. Like the lotion which they use is, in Chazal, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcho Oimer, Korcho Roin Afshe Betoiro Oise Roishem. Normally, when there's a charoin af, when the Ribbono Shel Olam gets angry, that anger leaves its mark. V'zeh lo ne'emar by Roshem, v'lo motzino shebo einish al yidei oiser charoin. What happened to Moshe because of that anger? Like it seems to be sort of hanging in the air, and nothing happens as a result of it. Omer lo Rav Yosi, so Rav Yosi said to Rav Yeshua ben Korcho, af bo zeh ne'emar by Roshem. Says, you're not right, there was a punishment over here. Because what does it say? Haloin Aaron Ochicho Halevi. Why does it call him over here Aaron Ochicho Halevi? I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu knew what tribe they came from. So why does he have to introduce Aaron as Levi? The destiny of Aaron was that he should become a Levi. I had planned for you to be the Kohen. Me'ato lo yeh Kohen. It's not going to be like that. Elohu yiye koyen v'ato halevi. Shneema, u'moshe ishu elokim, bonov yikoru'u al shevet halevi. Posuk in Divrei Hayomim. So, what's going on over here? The Ribbono Shel Olam gets angry that Moshe Rabbeinu kept on saying, Shlach no b'yad tishlach, and the result of that anger is that Moshe Rabbeinu loses the kohuna. And instead of Aaron being the Levi and Moshe being the Kohen, Aaron is going to be the Kohen and Moshe is going to be the Levi. Now what's going on over here? Why is that a midah keneged midah? Why is that an appropriate punishment for an excessive preoccupation with his inability to talk? The very, very, like, you know, we've learned these parshas so many times. We have to think a little bit about it to try and understand what is really happening, what is really being said over here. I think that what's going on, again, I haven't seen this particular mahalach anywhere. It's something which just struck me. Think about it. Maybe it'll appeal to you, maybe it won't. I think that the word over here is like this. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam get angry? I think the pshat is like this. Moshe Rabbeinu had already said, look, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm not an ish devorim, I'm not your man. So the Ribbono Shel Olam had said, Moshe Rabbeinu, listen to me, misom peh, I'm going to help you, you're not alone, we've got between us we make an excellent team. I can imbue you with the power of speech, you'll be the most eloquent speaker in the world, it's not going to be a problem. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Oy, bi adoni shlach no bi atishlach." What did Moshe Rabbeinu mean? He didn't believe the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam said it's going to be okay. So if it's going to be okay, so what's the problem? So I think that what's implied in the shlach no bi atishlach, I think that what's implied is that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Okay, I understand. Mitzat my shlichus to Paroi, I understand that you will grant me eloquence. You will help me to give over the message in the way that it should best be given over. I understand that. So my original fear is assuaged. It's okay, it's going to be okay. But Rabbani Shlomo, I can't afford to become an eloquent person. Then I lose my whole entire inner life. Then I'm going to be like the baby who gets the smack on his lips. You're going to give me the gift of speech. The gift of speech is going to ruin my inner life. It's going to be metzamtzemet. It's going to be something which is going to be at a lower level than I am used to and that I feel that my life ought to be. So please, shlach no belat tishlach. That's such an interesting lotion. Like one of the pshotim over there is, sent by anybody, practically anybody is better than I am. So I think Rashi says, or maybe it's the Ramban, no time to look now. Yeah, he says that it's an expression of anova, that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm the last person you want to send. Yeah, everybody is better than I am. Difficult to understand that. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu should have thought that everybody is better than he is. Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was, so he thinks that every yankel is going to be better than Moshe Rabbeinu. I think he means as everybody would love eloquence, everybody would love to be able to be helped by you, Rabbeinu Shalom, to express these enormous truths that are going to be expressed with your help. I am not the guy for that, because my life is within and not outside. I'm not a communicator. I am a liver. I live my madrega. I am what I perceive in my mind. And that's why I'm a kvat peh. I can't speak. I don't want to be able to speak. Because if I'm going to be able to speak, so then that ruins that inner life which is really my identifying feature. And in that sense, I'm different to the rest of the world. The rest of the world would delight in being eloquent and being able to express things. And they'll make wonderful shluchim. I am that person who has to be a kvat peh. My nature is to be a kvat peh. And that's the way it ought to be. Mitzad my own needs. I think that is why the Rabbeinu Shlomo got angry. Why is that? He's very right. The Teretz is, I think, that the Rabbeinu Shlomo said, you mustn't think of yourself when the Tzoyrach of Klal Yisrael is concerned. Over here, Klal Yisrael has such an enormous need. It's so important that they should get out of Mitzrayim now. The time is finished, and it's time that they should go out. And Paro has to be made to allow them to go out. This is a matter of saving Klal Yisrael. This is not the moment where you should be worrying about your inner life. If I'm sending you and I'm promising you that your shlichus will be successful, then this is not the moment to worry about your inner life. That's what I think is the Charoin Af. So what's that got to do with being a Kohen? I think, again, it's just my own thoughts, I don't know whether I haven't seen this anywhere, but I think that the pshat is like this, because the kahuna has to be an absolute and total identification with the people. The Moshe Rabbeinu was the Roye. Moshe Rabbeinu's training, Ki'ilu, was as a Roye. That's why he was the Roye of Yisrael's sheep. We all know the midrashim of how he carried the sheep when it was thirsty, against the pasha. Here we have a pasuk in Yecheskel, how the Rabbeinu Shalom describes that one day he, the Rabbeinu Shalom, is going to be the Roye of Klal Yisrael. Ani eret zoyni, v'ani arbitzeim um Hashem. I look after them. Eso ivet es avakesh, if one of them gets lost, I'll search it out. Eso nidachas oshev, if one of them really got lost, I'll make sure to bring it back. V'lanishberes echbash, I'm going to bandage the ones who are broken. V'sachole achazek, and so on. That's what a roye does. A roye is unbelievably giving to the sheep. But he remains the roye and the sheep remain sheep. He doesn't lose his identity in the sheep. That's a different thing. That's what a roye is. A kohen is more than that. A Kohen is more than a Roya. A Kohen is somebody with absolute and complete identification with the people. How do I know that? Very simple. I know it from the video on Yom Kippur. You have the three Viduim. First is Misvade on himself, then is Misvade on his Mishpocha, and the Kohenim, his Shevet, and then the Kohen Godel is Misvade for Klal Yisrael. It's completely, like every year when we get to the Avodah on Yom Kippur, and you get to this Vidui, it absolutely boggles the mind. You know, because mentioned before, you know, this idea, you have Moide and the Kal also Moide, I admit. Misvade means I become an admission machine. I mean that the video kills me. It's my whole being becomes a video. My whole Metzius is a confession. I'm nothing, and so on. How can I be Misvade for somebody else? How can I be Misvade for Klal Yisrael? Doesn't that turn the Vidui into sort of a formal statement? That's not what Vidui is supposed to be. Vidui is supposed to tear us apart. That's what Vidui is supposed to be. And that's why we say, She'ein on azeh fonim, lo mil fonecho, tzadikim anachna v'loi chotona, avol anachna chotona. What do you mean? Before we say Kriya Shema, we don't say, we're not the kind of people who don't say Kriya Shema, we do say Kriya Shema. We say Kriya Shema, and so we say Kriya Shema. So why don't we just get on with the video? Why do we have to make an announcement? We don't say Loi Chotana, we say Chotana. Well, of course, say Oshamnu, and we'll hear that you're saying Chotana. But the Torah says you can say Oshamnu without saying Chotana. If we're misvade by rote, if we just say words, so then every Oshamnu, every Bogadnu, every Gozalnu is a statement. I didn't do these things, because if I had done them, I would be broken up and I would be meaning the vidui. So a vidui which is a formulaic announcement that doesn't mean beans, it's nothing. So how can it be that one person can misvade for another person, and certainly that one Aaron HaKohen, one Kohen Gadol, can be misvade for the whole people? The Teretz is that you see in that this total and absolute involvement in the people, a unison, an identity, that the Kohen is nothing other than the people. Don't ask me how that works. After I've told you what I think is the answer, I still don't understand it. But I understand that is what's being said. This total identity. And that's what the Rabbi Nisham said. Look, Masha, if at this point you're still saying, Shlachno b'yatishlach, I've told you that there won't be a problem. Technically, there's not going to be a problem. If after that you're saying, good, but still I don't want to go, so that means you're not asking to be relieved from the duty of going because the Shlichus can't be successful. You're saying it could be successful. You understand that it could be successful. So why can't I send you? Tell us, it's because you will lose. If that's what's keeping you back, then you're not going to be a Kohen. I can't give you the Kohana. The Kohana requires, and that is why, you know, these Chazal which we have, that the Vayivku, that when Aaron died, the whole Klal Yisrael cried by Yisrael, by Moshe Rabbeinu less so, and that was because the Talmidim of Aaron HaKohen, Oyev Sholem, Roidev Sholem, Oyev Zabriyos, and Mekavon HaTorah, that was Aaron's business. The whole day long, he ran around trying to make Sholem between people. That is the pshat. He and Klal Yisrael were one. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have that. His tafkid was a different tafkid. So not everybody in Klal Yisrael mourned his passing. He remained separate. He remained the lawyer who remained separate from the sheep. I don't know whether I'm saying right things over here, but from what I've learned and the Chazal, which I happen to know, seem to bear out such a concept of total identity between the Kohen, or at least the Kohen Gadol, and the Klal. So the Rabban Shalom said, okay, Atul Tiyeh Elohim Leparo, you Elohim Leparo, you'll be the judge, and Aaron HaKohen will be your Nevi Echon. Chazal say, oh, but that's not for this year. You know that at the end of the Torah, Eile HaDvorim HaShadib Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, that in the end, through all the Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu had learned, he learned how to be such a person where there's no contradiction between the inner depth and the outer expression. As a matter of fact, Rabbi Tatz says that in that chapter. I can't find it now. I closed the book already. But that's what he says, that the whole of Torah really is like that. That's also a Mordechai insight. What is Torah? Look, the Ribbono Shel Olam was able to be mitzamtzem his things into words. Yeah, if Moshe Rabbeinu or any of us have a problem with expressing what's going on in our mind in words, and if the use of words is mitzamtzem that, so then what's going on in the Ribbono Shel Olam's mind, kiviyochel, should sicher be mitzamtzem when he puts it into words. So think of the Mesiras Nefesh which the Ribbono Shel Olam brought, kiviyochel, if and when he gave us a Torah which is clothed in words. Isn't that all his thoughts closed in words? So doesn't Matan Torah indicate that it is possible to reach such a level where the words stop being mitzamtzem? And that is that at the end of his life, when the Moshe Rabbeinu had been mekabel the Torah for Klal Yisrael, so he had learned the secret, don't ask me what it is because I don't know, but he had learned the secret of having words which are somehow not darkening the light of the insights that are going on in his mind, and he became a Baal Dvorim. El ha-dvorim asher diber Moshe, he's the Lo Ish Dvorim Anoche. Chazal read into El ha-dvorim asher diber Moshe that he became a Baal Dvorim. What I want to share with you is an insight which when I was thinking along these lines, I had an insight which was going to help me enormously. Mietz Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam should give me koyach and gesund for next Sukkos. What's all this going to do with Sukkos? I tell you what it has to do with Sukkos, because every year on Hashanah Rabbah, when it comes to clapping the arovas, I have no idea what I'm doing. So you take the arova and bang bang bang, and what am I doing? And it's just so funny to do something which has absolutely no meaning. I'm sure that people who know Kabbalah and who know the sides of what things are doing, and they understand the depth, and I guess that the Sforim, they deal with it, but they're not anything that I know. I've never learned anything like that. And when I go it's just going through the motions. But I tell you what I think, and then we'll finish. I heard a shiur from Rav Yosef Soloveitchik, Zichron Levroch, the Roshiva in Yeshiva University. The Mordechai Gezachi, I thought he said, and I think I've mentioned that before. He goes on Tehillim, the last Tehillim, Hallelujah, Hallelujah Ibekotcha, Hallelujah Birkia Uzo, Hallelujah Bigburosov, Hallelujah Rav Gudloy, Hallelujah Bseka Shofa, Neva Bechino, Sofa Mochol, Min Ve'ugov, Tzilsle Shoma, Tzilsle Shavua. The whole capital Tehillim is instrumental music. I'm going to praise the Ribbono Shel Olam with music. You've got 149 Tehillim. I don't know what Tehillim is, but the people who know what Tehillim, those are the words of David HaMelech, the magic words which shake Olamos. Speech. That's what Tehillim is. Tefillah. I think the Sfas Emes says, that's why Hashanah Rabbah, there's a lot of davening. We daven. Why do we daven so much on Hashanah Rabbah? We daven so much because the Ushpiza of Hashanah Rabbah is David HaMelech, and David HaMelech said, I need tefillah. I am a chunk of tefillah. I am tefillah incarnate. So therefore we daven. That is what Hashanah Rabbah is about. No, and the Hashanahs, it's not difficult to relate to, at least at some kind of level, I guess. So we davening. We're davening to the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's Moiradik. So what are we banging our rovers for? But now I understand it. It's a Moira de Gezach. I think, maybe it's in Sforim, maybe it's not. I've never seen it anywhere. I'm just sharing with you what I think. And that is that when we clap the arovas and bang off the leaves from the Hashana, that's Tehillim Kufnun. That is rebelling against speech. Just like in the end of Tehillim, David HaMelech said, Ribbono Shel Olam, I've told you so many Tehillim, I've told you so many Shvachim, which were expressed in words. You know, at the end of everything, Sof Kol Sof, Sof Dover, where does the Emes lie? L'cho Dumiyo Sehillah. Silence is the greatest praise for you. There's no praise for you greater than silence. So I'm suggesting that the leaves of the arova are the lips, you know, the esrog is the heart, and the dasim is the eyes, and the lulav is the shedro. So the leaves of the arova are the lips. We speak with our lips. So maybe when we bang off the leaves of the arova, what we are doing is we are affirming the mila of silence over speech. We are affirming the mila of silence over speech. Exactly what David HaMelech, it's the Ushpiza of David HaMelech, Tehillim, and he ends his Tehillim with Mizmor Kuf Nun, which eschews, which leaves aside speech, and is only interested in the music. L'cho dumiyo sehila. So at the end of the davening on the Shana Rabba, we say to the Rebbein Shem, look, we've davened. Realize that there's things going on inside us which can't be expressed in speech. And that hopefully expresses itself on our Simcha and Simchas Torah. I think that even big Gedolim, who are big Masmidim and never stop learning on Simchas Torah, they do go and they dance and maybe they're thinking and learning while they're dancing, but I prefer to think that they're not, and that they're just expressing a Simcha which is not expressed in words. It's just dancing. It's the Simcha, well, you understand what I mean. And the makiv patish of this is that the Chazal say that where does this chibut arova come from? So it's a minak neviim. Now what does that mean? That the neviim were masakin this minak. So how do the neviim come into anything? Oh, but we learned today how they come into it. Rashi said that novi is miloshen nivs forsayim. That novi is speech. So the ones whose whole metzias is speech were masakin. That after we've spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken and spoken on Hashanah Rabba, another tefillah, another tefillah, another tefillah, another tefillah. How do we end the day? With the Chibut Arova, we say to the Rebbeinu Shalom, let's get rid of the lips, L'cho Dumiya Sehila. It's an affirmation of the inner life. And that is the Takonas Nevi'im. Not Nevi'im in the sense of prophets, I don't know what the word prophet means, but Nevi'im in the sense of Nifs Fosayim. Those whose whole metzias in life was speech were the ones who were mesaken, that after speech has been used to its best advantage, there comes a moment when speech becomes inadequate. Take your arova, bang off the leaves, l'cho dumiyo sehilot.